Welcome to podcast number 6 on Radio Salam Shalom, the podcast for the end of November 2008, with me, Lisa Saffron. This is brought to you from Bristol, UK. Today's episode is a special edition of a world premiere of the play called Dove, a play by Sheila Yeager. It's a short play with a message of peace. Sheila is a published playwright, poet, novelist, and journalist. She's written over 30 plays, including work for the Royal Shakespeare Company, Bristol Old Vic, the Derby Playhouse, the Theatre Royal Stratford East, the Soho Poly, and the Orange Tree. She's also written for television and has had 3 90-minute plays and 1 75-minute play produced on BBC Radio, as well as 5 short stories. Having lived in Israel, she now lives in the southwest of England, where she's a member of the Progressive Synagogue. She's a student of Jewish mysticism and teaches Jewish meditation. The play that we're going to listen to is called Dove. It's a rehearsed reading. The reading was directed by Roger Stennett. Joe is played by Vincenzo Pellegrino, Hannah by Pamela Benham, Salma is played by Meg Whelan. Before we start the play, we have a 6-minute interview with the playwright explaining why she wrote the play and what her inspiration was.
Jews and Muslims talking together. This is Radio Salam Shalom.
How did this production of Dove come about?
My partner, Roger Stennett, who does a lot of work directing radio and working with students from the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, he offered to direct it. You have to bear in mind this is a rehearsed reading, it's not an actual production because we did it all in a few hours. If it had been a production, we'd have needed 3 days probably to get it up to production standard, but I think as a reading it stands up pretty well. Now the actors worked for nothing. All of these actors put their utmost into this, gave it their best shot, and they really worked hard to make this come to life, and I feel very, very humbled by that and grateful to them. All the actors really believed in what they were doing. That shows in the reading.
What was the inspiration for Dove?
I've been privileged to go to a workshop run by the Jerusalem Peacemakers, who were visiting this country. They're based normally in Israel, and they do an amazing array of work to try to create peaceful dialogue. And I was very impressed by finding out about the work they did. At the same time, I'd been involved with Lisa Saffron in a compassionate listening, non-violent communication group, which I'd found extremely powerful, and had also found the techniques which she taught us very powerful and helpful in personal situations. I started thinking about how we can actually communicate with each other in a way which is peaceful rather than violent, and how that might actually assist peace process. Now, at the same time, I'm also involved in some personal practices which I suppose one would have to describe as Buddhist, although I'm a practicing Jew. I'm very interested in the work of Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. He has written a book called Creating True Peace. That really shows how peace begins with the individual and within small situations, the family, the household, the relationship. Those peaceful activities spread into the wider community and thus into the world. So all these different influences were playing around in my mind. Now, I'm a professional playwright, and I've been writing for about 30 years. I wrote a short play called Hatikva, which is Hebrew for the hope. I had actually spent some time living in Israel way back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I'd seen some quite terrifying incidents, and one of which was I was at a cemetery, and there was some ceremony going on which involved military high-ranking types, and there was a woman, obviously quite a poor woman, dressed in black and quite raggedy looking, and she was sort of by the fence and she was hurling abuse at these men and throwing boulders and things. And my Hebrew wasn't that brilliant, but I gathered that she lost a son in one of the wars, and that spawned the play Hatikva, which was actually a monologue for such a woman, and that was performed professionally. I started to think of a more modern take on that, bearing in mind the different influences, the Jerusalem peacemakers, the nonviolent communication. And I thought about a situation in which two women, because I felt strongly that peace initiatives, well, they can come from anyone, of course, but they do seem often to come from women who have so much to lose from wars. So I thought of a situation in which two women might meet, two women from very different backgrounds, where they had both been in some kind of place in some kind of jeopardy by an event. And that was the beginning. And then I started to think about who else might be there. And that's when I thought that maybe there should be someone who in some way represented the military, or seemed to represent the military, and thus a soldier. Now, I didn't want to make it completely specific where this was set. Some people are going to say, well, it's obviously in the Middle East, it's a hot country. But I don't want to say that it is set in the Middle East, because after all, these events, as depicted in the play, desperate peoples taking desperate measures, happen all over the world, sadly. They've happened in Northern Ireland. So if people want to think of it as being in the Middle East, they can, but if they would prefer to think of it being somewhere else, they can do that too. It's non-specific, quite deliberately. But what is specific is we've got two women, one of them obviously ill-educated, poor, unsophisticated, and the other highly educated, probably quite affluent and what one might call middle class, and a young soldier who is guarding a place where there has been a terrible event. The play really is about how these women start off very polarised, how news of what has actually happened polarises them even further and gives them good cause to be enemies, if you like, and how by the end they have found some way of communicating peacefully, even suggesting better ways forward. And the soldier, who is quite an unsophisticated young man, has been given cause to change his viewpoint about what it means to be in the military and what his place is in the whole situation. So I would depict it as a very optimistic play. I called it Dove because Dove, of course, is a symbol of peace. So I would like to stress that this is a pacifist play. I would depict myself as a pacifist. I am not saying one side is right, one side is wrong. I am saying this is no way forward. I am saying, in company with the Jerusalem peacemakers, we have to talk to each other peacefully. We have to find a way of understanding where the other is coming from and why. We even have to find a way of empathising with the most terrible, drastic and destructive acts and trying to understand what causes them. And then we have to find a way of forgiving each other and finding a better way forward. And that's what the play is about. It's a pacifist message, and I make no bones or apologies about that. So that's the play, and I hope that people will listen to all of it. Please don't turn it off thinking, I don't want to hear this. Listen to it to the end, because you have to get to the end before you understand what it is I'm really saying. On the way, some of it might make you angry, might make you sad, might make you outraged, might make you think that I'm not on your side. I'm on everyone's side. I'm on the side of peace and peaceful communication.
This is Radio Salam Shalom.
Dove by Sheila Yeager. A rehearsed reading directed by Roger Stennett.
A hot, desolate place. Rubble, scorched grass, debris, boulders, the present. Joe, a young man in military uniform and shirt sleeves, stands guard. He has an automatic weapon slung across his shoulders. He looks around, then looks at his watch.
16:31 and 3 seconds. 16:31 and 5 seconds. 16:31 and 7 seconds. Bloody hell, it's hot. Smoking on duty? That's a punishable offence. Where's it all going to end? Does anyone know? Or care? Bloody madness.
He lies back and closes his eyes. Hannah enters. She's a middle-aged woman who wears shabby dark clothes, wrinkled black stockings and slippers. She carries an old basket. As she approaches Joe, he leaps to his feet and raises his weapon.
Is this the place? Is this the place?
On the ground. Now!
I only want to know, is this the place?
On the ground, I said. I'll count to three. Slowly. One, two, three.
I brought oranges.
I don't care if you brought fillet steaks. Get down now. That's better. Now let's see. What the hell's what, shall we? Bloody oranges.
You have a mouth like a dirty drain. If you were my son...
If I were your son, I'd slit my throat. Now get up and get out of my bloody sight.
Only thing I want to know, is this the place?
What place?
Where the bus stops.
It is a bus stop. It was a bus stop. Whether it will ever be a bus stop again, it's hard to say.
This is where the bus stops?
Used to stop.
The bus from the city.
So I understand. Now listen here, lady. I'm a very busy man.
You don't look so busy. This is the place, then.
I said so, didn't I? Now, look here. Like I said, this used to be a bus stop. But if you're hoping to catch a bus here, you could have a very long wait.
I have plenty of time.
Well, you can't wait here.
Why not? There's enough room.
I'm under strict orders to prevent anyone waiting here. Civilians, military... Young people, old people, blacks, whites, dogs. Strict orders to prevent anyone at all, from waiting here. Comprendo?
You speak foreign languages? You must be more clever than you look.
Comprendo, it's a figure of speech. If it's foreign, I apologise. But it don't make no difference. You can't wait here.
She always gets off at this stop.
Not anymore, she don't.
I meet her here every Friday. She comes by here every Friday.
Today's Tuesday.
I always bring oranges. She likes oranges.
Perhaps you'll get off at the next stop today or the one before. You could go and wait at either. You have that choice, to wait at the next stop or the one before.
This is the stop.
You're confused. Very confused. So much so that it's possible you would benefit from professional help. Now, while I'm generally reckoned to be a decent sort of bloke, I'm not in a position to take your mental or physical health into account in this matter. I am under the strictest instructions. I've warned you. I've warned you more than once. The strictest orders.
Hannah doesn't move. The soldier releases the safety catch of his weapon and takes aim at her. She still doesn't move. Salma enters. She's much the same age as Hannah. She is exceptionally well-groomed, elegantly and expensively dressed, and carries a good black handbag.
Why don't you? Why not compound evil with evil? Why not? Why not? Don't let me stop you.
I was only...
carrying out orders. I know.
I tried telling her.
I heard you from 100 meters away.
Well, she's deaf. Either that or crazy.
Oh, we all are. It goes without saying. Has he hurt you in any way?
It's okay.
Then perhaps you can help me. I was wondering whether this was the place. The place where the bus...
Where the bus stops? Yes, this is the place. I bring her oranges. Every week, oranges.
See what I mean?
Who are they for? The oranges.
My daughter, my Yona, she loves to eat oranges. Ever since she's a baby, my little white bird, Yona.
The soldier talks into his walkie-talkie.
Two women. One looks like she's been sleeping rough. The other's a smart kind of lady, nice dress, good shoes. Yeah, of course I'm sure they're women. I must strongly advise you both to leave without further mayhem or disorder. At 1800 hours precisely, this area will be inspected by my commanding officer. It is clearly not advisable for him to discover you, as it were, in situ. Indeed, it would be highly preferable if you were conspicuous by your absence. You see, whilst I may enjoy the reputation of being a compassionate man, my commanding officer, though undoubtedly possessed of many commendable qualities, does not. I would suggest count compassion among them.
You're surprisingly articulate.
Well, for a soldier, you mean?
Oh, I had no preconceived notions.
But you would have expected me to be as thick as two short planks.
As I said, I came here entirely without preconceptions.
I like the way you talk. I bet you went to university.
I did.
Then it's no wonder, is it?
Are you sure this is the place?
What place are you looking for?
Where the bus
flew up. Isn't that what you mean?
Please, take an orange. It's so hot today. The juice will do you good.
It's very refreshing. Thank you.
More?
That's very kind.
I need you both to leave now. Pronto, this instant. If you don't leave, this instant, I shall have no alternative. Now, this is my final warning. Do you understand?
He had a gun. At the weekend, he always used to bring it home, stand it up in the corner of the kitchen while he had a cup of tea and a piece of cake. Always it leaves a pile of sand on the floor, the gun. Why you don't put it on a piece of newspaper, I say, so it don't make so much mess. Oh, Mum, he says, laughing, always laughing, like everything was some big joke. Honey cake, he likes. Apple cake also. When he's finished his tea, he falls asleep right there at the table, head on his hands. Always there's sand in his clothes, sand in his eyebrows and eyelashes, sand in his hair. Later on, he cleans the gun, takes it apart bit by bit, whispering to it, stroking it, like it's a woman, loving it almost. And me watching, not speaking, watching, like we're always watching what they do, afraid to say nothing.
You know what's wrong with this country? It's too bloody hot. If only it wasn't so bloody hot. Too hot.
The bus will come, for sure. They tried to tell you all kinds of things, but what do they know? Every Friday, the same time, I'm waiting here at this bus stop. Every Friday, she's getting off here, proud in her uniform. She also has a gun. I'm trying not to look at the gun, looking just at her face, her sweet face. Later on, she likes to take a shower, put on a nice dress. Always, I wash the one with white daisies, make it ready for her. Then she goes without shoes into the garden, and I say, "Watch you don't tread on anything sharp. You might hurt yourself." And she laughs and says, "Mom, you worry too much."
It's what we do best, isn't it? Worry.
You have kids?
Yes.
How many you got?
Only the one. I only had the one.
I should have four. Only two died inside here. All that pushing and shoving and at the end, nothing. Dead. So then there was only the two. One boy, one girl. People say it's nice, one of each. Why you only had the one?
It was my choice.
More orange?
Thank you, no.
You think they could do something, wouldn't you? You think they would work it out somehow. Mr. Prime Minister and all his clever politicians. We put them up there in Parliament, and we pay for them, taxes too. And what they do for us? No, I'm asking you, they don't do nothing. Isn't that right? I'll tell you something. If I can get to see him, Mr. High and Mighty Prime Minister, if I can just get to see him, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to ask him, how would you like it? Your only daughter, how would you like it?
Your daughter was on the bus?
Every Friday.
I'm so sorry.
You didn't do nothing. It's not up to you to be sorry. The ones who should be sorry, they're sitting on their fat asses up there in the government. I beg your pardon. Sitting in their offices with their air conditions and their computers. You think I don't know about computers? Believe me, I know enough. And mobile phones. He showed me. Oh, yes, I know. Wake up, Ma, he says. This is the 21st century. And I say, you think I don't know what year it is?
You're very angry.
You wouldn't be angry? I should have listened more to what he's saying. I should have heard what he's telling me. I should have told her to take a taxi. I should have paid for her to take a taxi. Maybe I could find the money from somewhere. Once or twice I offered her, "Don't take no chances," I say. But she just laughs and says, "Mum, you worry too much.
How could you have known?
I'm her mother. It's my job to know things. And especially after...
We can't know everything. Sometimes I feel we don't know anything. After what?
After nothing. Mind your own bloody business. You saw it on television?
No.
Me, I heard it on the news first thing. I'm ironing her clothes, ready for the weekend. Her nice trousers and the little black top with straps. Saturday night she likes to go out to a club. "Don't come in too late," I say. "Don't wait up for me," she says. "No," I say.
But you do.
Listening. Is that a taxi? Footsteps on the path? Her key in the door? Listening.
Looking at the clock?
Once, twice.
3 times.
Then when you hear her key turning.
Closing your eyes.
Pretending to be asleep.
Pretending.
Your kid, she was...
No. No. Why would she be?
You don't know for sure?
No.
She don't come home every Friday?
Not every Friday.
Why she don't come home?
We're both very busy people.
You are busy?
Yes.
Me also.
Are you two still bloody here?
My friend and I were just about to go.
Friends, is it now? How nice, friends. Now I've seen bloody everything.
I would like to wait just a few more minutes. Just in case.
Better not.
Just in case.
Believe me.
You're sure?
Yes. Can I offer you a lift?
You have a car? Your own car?
Of course.
Oh, my clothes.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
You're a very kind lady.
It's nothing.
Busy, but still kind.
Thank you.
But I would like to stay a bit longer.
I understand.
The bus might come. Sometimes they come late.
That's true.
Hannah begins to walk away slowly to the side of the stage. She stands looking as if watching for the bus. Salma watches her for a while, shakes her head, then takes her car keys out of her handbag and looks at them, as if they might provide her with an answer. She then takes a mobile phone out of her bag, hesitates, then dials. The phone rings and is answered very quickly as Selma says softly,
"It's only me. I know. I'm sorry. Any news? We have to phone the number. The number they gave out. Why won't you let me? We have to phone. I know what you're afraid of. You think I don't know? You think I'm not afraid of the same thing? We have to know. We need to know. It's no good shouting at me. Don't shout at me."
She rings off. She stands looking at the phone, then puts it back into her bag and exits. Meanwhile, Joe takes a water bottle from his kit bag and drinks.
You get all sorts here. It's like a bloody tourist attraction. I ought to charge them to have a look. Yesterday, there was a couple of religious types, Bible bashers, white as sheets like they never saw the light of day. Full-time desk jobs trying to prove the existence of gods. They told me not to whistle. I ask you, lack of respect, they said. In the presence of death, they said. I whistle to celebrate all creation, I said. I whistle to prove that I'm alive, though others may not be. And why not, I said. Why the hell not? Only I didn't. I didn't say none of it. I just whistled silently inside my head. No one's going to stop me whistling. Talking of God, what's he playing at? Because it seems like some sick game to me. Like in the playground when this big kid asks you to play. Then he pulls your hair and punches you in the face when no one's looking. Wars, famines, tidal waves, earthquakes, kids buried alive, kids starving to death. Oh, hilarious. God is good, they say. It's all in God's plan, they say. Kids, old ladies,
A guy with a wooden leg, a 10-month-old baby. A 10-month-old baby. All blown to pieces in a split second. What kind of sicko would plan a thing like that? No, I'm asking you. God is everywhere, they say. God is good, they say. Do you know what I say? I say, bloody hell! Bloody hell! Bloody, bloody hell!
The sound of a wasp buzzing. Joe bats at it with his hand. This goes on for a while. He starts to doze. Hannah approaches him. She carries her basket. He doesn't see her at first. She stands watching him and says,
"You like biscuits?"
I told you, lady. I told you.
Homemade?
I'm under the strict orders. I told you.
Cinnamon and walnuts?
I don't like biscuits.
Everyone likes biscuits. Here. Your favourite, eh?
I'm not allowed to eat on duty.
Who's to see?
Rules are made for a reason.
There are rules about biscuits.
There are rules about everything.
I won't tell nobody.
I'm a trained soldier.
Trained for what? That's what I'd like to know.
To protect my country, to go to war, to do my duty.
That don't say nothing about biscuits.
Well, it's a matter of discipline. In battle, if a soldier fails to obey orders, it can prove fatal for him and for his comrades.
I don't see no comrades.
Well, that's because they're back at the barracks.
Eating biscuits. I don't see no battle, neither.
You don't understand.
I understand pretty good.
It's battle conditions. Always prepared, always ready, never off guard.
You look like maybe you was crying.
Dust in my eye. I thought you'd gone.
I was looking for the bus.
What? Bus.
The bus that always comes.
I told you there is no bus. There won't be no buses. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week, not never.
Not never?
Not never.
Then where can she get off?
Who?
Yona, my daughter. This is where she gets off, always.
Not anymore.
If she don't get off here, where will she get off?
Up the road, down the road. She'll probably get off at one of them. You could have called her, sorted it out. She got a mobile?
Of course. What do you think we are?
Then you could have asked her, made an alternative arrangement. Now, I don't know what to suggest.
I can just wait.
You can't wait here.
Maybe if I give you a biscuit.
A trained soldier won't accept bribes.
It isn't a bribe. It's a bargain, a deal.
A trained soldier don't enter into deals or make bargains.
A trained soldier don't eat biscuits.
Listen, lady, I'm asking you to leave politely, kindly even, not ordering you, not employing undue force, just asking.
And I'm just refusing.
For the love of God!
You believe in God?
I did. Once. Oh, hell, I don't know.
I don't see him. I don't hear him. I don't touch him. And believe me, he don't do me no favours. But still, I think there's someone there. You don't agree?
How the bloody hell should I know?
Your mouth is like a sewer. My compost heap smells better than your mouth. If you were my son, if you were my son...
But I'm not.
If you were my son, I'd give you a bloody good hiding. You think I'm joking? These things, I don't make no jokes.
Well, you'd have to catch me first.
You think I can't run? Believe me, I can run. I can run and I can catch also.
Go on and try. I dare you.
What did I say?
I let you. Like my dad always let me beat him at tennis.
He did?
Always.
Still he lets you?
He died last year.
He had cancer? Heart problems?
He was in a cafe. There was a bomb. He always went to the same cafe.
This bloody country.
This could be a good country. It's the others. They won't leave us in peace. Animals, they are bloody animals.
You think that's the problem?
I know it is.
You ask them.
You can't talk to them.
Is that right?
Oh, sure. They like to talk about peace. Then as soon as you turn round, they stab you in the back.
Is that what happens?
Everybody knows that.
I never heard it before.
You heard it now.
You're a clever boy, a very clever boy. You understand things. You were in lots of wars?
Not yet.
You are hoping to be in some?
It's what I'm trained to do.
You are looking forward to it?
I thought I was ready for it.
You were ready to kill people?
Sometimes it's a necessity.
You think so?
It's kill or be killed. Survival of the fittest. Get the bastards before they get us.
You saw this on TV?
It's what I've been taught.
It sounds like TV to me.
But one day you'll understand.
I hope I never do. Is it right you was crying?
I told you, there was dust in my eye.
Very dusty place. If you feel something, perhaps you should say...
I don't feel nothing. Not a solitary single thing.
Frightening.
I'm afraid I have to ask you to leave.
It's okay.
Shall I escort you off the site?
I can go by myself.
What's your name?
Hannah.
She picks up her basket and exits very slowly. Joe watches her go. Then he takes up his guard position once again. Salma enters again. She is dressed exactly as before, but her hair is now unkempt and her clothes look dirty and dishevelled. She carries a wilting white large daisy. Joe suddenly stops whistling.
What the hell? I told you, lady, I told you before, you are not allowed to be here.
I don't care.
So you are knowingly defying orders?
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Not anymore.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. I'm not talking about anything.
Is something wrong? You look different.
Nothing's wrong.
Funny, I could have sworn you'd been crying.
I had a bit of dust in my eye.
It's a major problem in these parts. Dust. What's with the flowers?
It's none of your business.
Everything that happens here is my business.
I need to mark the spot.
What spot?
The place where it happened.
What happened?
The tragedy.
Tragedies are always happening all over the place. What's so special about here?
I don't have to explain.
Oh, now what are you doing here again?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
I'm on duty.
So many days they make you stand here.
I went off duty. Now I'm back on duty. That's how it works.
You went to see your mother?
No.
You should go to see your mother. I brought some biscuits, ginger with almonds, for a change. You like to try one?
No, thank you.
You're on a diet?
No.
Allergic to nuts, maybe?
I am not allergic to nuts.
Not meaning to interrupt or anything.
Why you don't just keep guard in case anyone comes? Over there looks like a good place.
Oh, for God's sake.
I used to grow these long time ago. It's from your garden?
No. Now, if you'll excuse me...
Suddenly I'm not good enough to talk to? Is that what you're saying? You with your fancy clothes, nice shoes, special hair. Well, that's okay, lady. That's fine by me. I didn't come looking for no coffee parties. I got plenty to do here. Plenty.
Salma turns away from her. Hannah walks away. Sits on a boulder. She takes various objects out of her bag and lays them carefully on the ground. There's a pair of child's shoes, a cheap gold chain, a child's drawing in crayon, and an orange. She picks up the shoes, examines them closely, then puts them down again. She picks up the chain, holds it against herself, then puts it down again. She picks up the orange, sniffs it, then puts it down again. Lastly, she picks up a drawing and studies it.
When she was a kid, always she draws Mum. Big eyes, big mouth, hair all sticking out. Don't look nothing like me. I draw Mum. I draw Mum, she says. And I say, it's lovely. You draw lovely. I remember she's walking like she's drunk, always falling. Come on, I say. Come on, just a little bit more, just a few steps. And I hold out my hands to reach to her, so she doesn't need to go quite so far. And she's laughing, so happy, always so happy, my little bird. Yona, I call her. You know what is this? Is a bird, white. A bird came flying out of Noah's Ark. You know this story, maybe. You like orange? She brings a flower. A flower is nice, whatever happens. A flower everybody can understand.
The bird is a dove. I know the story. It's one of those stories that everyone knows. After the phone call, I went to the flower stand on the corner of King Peter Street. You know, where the road divides. There's a man there every day, winter and summer.
I see him also. He's selling many different flowers. Flowers I don't even know their names. Carnations, I know. The phone, it was bad news.
Carnations, roses, tulips, lilies, red, purple, pink, yellow, white. I've often thought I would like to grow flowers, but I know I would never have the time. You need to water them when they need watering. Feed the soil. Isn't that right? Protect them from weeds. Perhaps I am to blame. Do you think I am to blame? My head is full of questions.
The phone. It was bad news.
We think we know them, but we don't. We think we understand them, but we don't. They're a mystery to us, like strangers, like total strangers.
The first time he came home after his basic training, he tried to tell me. Mom, he said, I'm scared. You'll be okay, I said, a big, strong boy like you. Strong don't make no difference, he said, not in the army. You look so nice in your uniform, I said. Your dad would be proud of you. What I really wanted to say was, stay here with me. I'll make you soup and we'll sit in the garden and watch the birds. But I was scared too, so I sent him back. I sent him back, smiling and waving. And the next day, only the next day.
Yes?
Don't make me say.
Oh, this bloody country!
I'd like you would tell me what's the trouble. The phone call, what it said. If you would tell me, maybe I can help you. You never know.
Please.
That time, I also got a phone call. It was in the middle of the night. I hear the phone ringing like in a dream, and straight away, I'm jumping up, wide awake, and I'm thinking how no one is ringing in the middle of the night with no good news. I pick up the phone as if it might be going to give me a bite, and I say, hello, very softly. Then this man says, it is my very sad duty. And straight away I know, don't tell me. I scream, I don't want to hear. But he just keeps on talking, and the words are all mixed up in my head, not making no sense, like they were meat coming out of the mincing machine. Shot himself, he says. In the head, he says. Extremely sorry, he says. Full investigation, he says. Dead, he says. And all I say is one word, only one word. No, 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 I say, no. Only I'm not saying, I'm screaming.
Don't know them. We think we know them, but we don't.
I was wondering what your plans were. You know, how long you were intending to stay here, given that I've warned you not once, but several times.
We're not going nowhere. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Oh, I get it. It's the unholy alliance now, is it? United against a common enemy, that sort of thing. Well, it don't make no difference. 1 minute by my watch and you are out of here. Both of you. Whoever you are, out of here. Do you understand me? 60, 59, 58.
They make like they're such big shots, big boots, big gun, but inside. Oh, I wish I would have listened.
She never said.
We should hear the things they don't say.
You'd have thought she would have said.
They say, but we don't hear.
One, our time's up.
Oh, dangerous thing. Can hurt someone really bad. Perhaps I ought to take care of it. How about you give it to me?
Are you crazy? A trained soldier never lets go of his weapon.
Is that right? I never really looked at his gun. Not close up. It was like I pretended it was nothing to do with me. I wonder what you need to do.
For the love of God, be careful. It's a lethal weapon, not a bloody toy.
Oh, I know it's not a toy. You love God. You love God and still you carry guns.
Yes. No. How should I know?
You have a girlfriend.
What's that got to do with anything?
I'm just asking, that's all. What's she saying about you playing with this thing?
She's in the army too.
So, two little soldiers in love. This can be on the television. If this is on the television, I would be watching, definitely. Is this the bit where you press?
Tell her, please.
Forget the gun.
Why?
It's totally irrelevant.
I don't know this word. You know I don't know this word. I thought you were on my side.
Did you?
You like the army?
What do you think?
I think there's some things you like. Smart uniform, food you don't have to pay nothing to eat. You don't have to go looking for no job. In the street, people are looking with respect.
Oh, one time, maybe. Not anymore. Sometimes they're looking as if they hate me. Only the other day, a man spat at me in the street.
That's not nice. Spitting is not nice. He had a gun like yours. Maybe even the same. Mikey.
What, your son?
He had the same gun. First time I saw it, I felt proud. I'm thinking, my son is a big man now. My son is fighting for his country. And if for one minute I'm feeling scared, I'm pushing that feeling away. Like it's something I should be ashamed of. Like no other mother ever feels scared. Only me.
The day I went into the army, my mother hid in the shed in the garden. Mum, I called. What are you doing out there? You know, I've got to go now. Oh, I'm busy, she calls. I've got to pot up these geraniums. But you can do that later, I shout. No, she shouts. I've got to do it now. I'm leaving for the army and my mother's potting up geraniums. So I go to the shed and I open the door. And she's sitting there, sobbing like her heart is breaking. And she looks up and she says, go on, just go. Don't start saying goodbye or nothing. Just go. I'll be all right. Just got some dust in my eye.
Dusty country. Always dust getting in someone's eye.
What's up with her?
Don't ask me.
Ever since she came back.
Perhaps she got bad news. Bad news can make people look funny.
Your son?
It's a long time ago now. 4 years almost. First 2 years, I'm mostly crying. Then I'm shouting all the time. Nobody can't come near me. I'm like a crazy person. Later, I'm just quiet. Nothing much to say to nobody. And always watching the television. Only watching the television. Like the people there are my friends. Because they don't ask me no questions. Because they don't want nothing from me.
I would like to talk to you.
I don't see no one stopping you.
In private.
Oh, don't mind me.
We can go over there if you want. Over there looks like a nice place. Come, it's okay. Maybe I can do something to help. Is something funny happened? You want to tell me? Maybe we can both enjoy the joke.
It isn't a joke. It's very far from a joke.
Then why are you laughing?
I don't know. I don't know anything anymore.
Me also.
Your daughter?
Yona, yes.
Yona. It's a pretty name.
My husband. He used to like to watch birds flying.
Where is she? Yona.
Every Friday she's getting off the bus at the same stop. Every Friday, here at this stop.
Today is Wednesday. No, it's Thursday.
I told you, every Friday.
But last Friday was different.
No, every Friday the same.
Not last Friday.
What are you trying to say?
You know what I'm trying to say.
No.
Listen to me. You've got to listen to me.
Let go! Tell her she's got to let go of me!
What the hell's going on over there?
Tell him nothing's going on.
Nothing. Nothing's going on. Everything's fine. Let go of me.
She was on the bus, wasn't she? Your daughter. She was on the bus. The bus that blew up. The bus that stops here every Friday.
This woman is mad. She should be arrested. Can you please come and arrest her? She's telling me someone blew up the bus. It's not true. The bus will be here soon. Definite. The bus is coming. Just a few minutes and it's coming. The bus is coming. Yona is coming. I brought her oranges. She likes to eat oranges. Yona, my Yona, Yona. How can this happen? How can these things happen? What kind of country we're living in that such things are happening? First, it's my son, my Mikey. Poor boy. Poor boy. Now, Yona, she just gets on a bus, not doing no harm to nobody, minding her own business. Next minute, what kind of country is allowing such things? What kind of people are doing such things to each other? And you, what are you waiting for? You are also waiting for the bus that won't never come? Why you need to wait for the bus? You've got a nice big car, you said. You don't have to go riding on no bus. No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Your daughter was on this bus also. I don't want to know. It's too many things, too many. She was on the bus, your daughter? You've got to tell me now. You started with this conversation. Now you've got to tell me. If she was on the bus, I got to know. You can't keep it secret no more. Was she on the bus? Was she? Was she?
How was I to know what she was going to do? How could I be expected to know? I hadn't seen her for more than 6 months.
6 months? You didn't see your own daughter? What kind of a mother you are?
Oh, there's always some reason, some excuse or other. Now I realise.
Realise what?
I realise she couldn't see me, wasn't allowed to see me.
Who can stop her seeing her own mother? Who can do such a thing?
Oh, they can do anything. Anything at all.
Who these people are, these terrible people?
I can't say. I don't know. And if I did know, I couldn't say.
Definitely you are mad. Maybe you need to see a doctor. They can find pills for things these days.
You don't understand. Mercifully, you don't understand.
I understand good enough. Your daughter was on the bus. My daughter was on the bus. It's a terrible thing. A terrible thing for both of us is a terrible thing. We are, how you say, in the same boat.
I have to go now.
Until you tell me something that's making sense, you're not going nowhere.
I have to.
Then I'm coming also to make sure you're okay. I don't like to see you go running around in such a state.
It was good to meet you. I'm very sorry for your loss. I hope...
No.
I hope. Please, no. Let me go. Just let me go. You don't understand.
You think I'm stupid? I can't understand nothing? Maybe I don't read so good. Maybe I don't have no important job. But I know what means crying. I know when a person is feeling they don't know what they should do. I know when a person, their heart is breaking. These things I know.
What you don't know is why.
Your daughter is on a bus and it blows up. Someone puts a bomb on this bus and the bus blows up. So she isn't getting off no bus. Not today, not tomorrow, not any day. Am I right?
In a way, yes.
How you mean in a way? Either she's dead or she isn't. Either she was on the bus or she wasn't.
She was on the bus.
So my heart breaks for you. For me also. For both of us.
When we heard about the bus, my husband telephoned the number they gave out. because we knew it was a route she often took. Just to set our minds at rest. Not because we had any real reason to believe. We gave her name and address. We asked if they would be kind enough to give us any information they might have about the women on the bus. If they had any positive identification. They're so clever about these things these days.
Oh, yes, they're very clever.
The phone call.
There was a phone call?
Yes.
So, what'd they say?
They say...
Yes?
They said that the injuries are quite distinctive, quite particular. They say that they are by now very experienced in detecting these particular injuries.
Now, for sure, I don't know what you mean. Why are they detecting? Why it's such a mystery?
It isn't a mystery. Sadly, it's all very clear. The bomb was in a bag on her lap. She had it on her lap. When it detonated, when it exploded, it blew her head off. Apparently, that's what almost always happens. That's why it's easy for them to identify the bomber, because he or she is the one whose head has blown off.
I don't think I am hearing it right. Perhaps I should go to the doctor. Tell him my ears aren't so good. What do you think?
I think your ears are probably fine.
But I heard you say she had a bomb in her bag. Your daughter. Why would you say such a terrible thing?
I'm sorry.
You are sorry?
I am so sorry. So very sorry. I'll leave now.
I heard about these suicide bombers. It was on the television. At first I'm thinking suicide is what a person does when they can't stand no more. When they think no one is listening to them, like my Mikey. This is suicide. But to do it with bombs, to do it so other people are getting hurt, other people also are dying?
I'm sorry.
You are sorry? You think this is enough? You think this is the end of the matter? You say you are sorry and that's it? Saying sorry is enough? It makes everything suddenly okay?
Of course not.
I'll give you of course not. I'll give you sorry. I'll give you sorry till you wish you'd never been born. I'll give you sorry till you cry out to God for mercy. I'll give you sorry.
Whoa, what the...
You leave me alone, do you hear? Leave me alone.
Oh, this has got to stop now. Come on, this minute.
You don't know nothing.
I know the whole world's gone mad. Now, get out of here, the two of you. First your best mate, sharing oranges, now World War III's broken out.
You listen to me. You listen real good. You listen to me and guaranteed you change your tune. Guaranteed. You want to know why I hit her? You want to know? There was a bomb on the bus, okay? You know there was a bomb on the bus?
Of course I know. What the hell do you think I've been doing here for the past week?
Do you know who put the bomb on the bus?
It was one of those bloody suicide bombers, bloody maniac. Blew his own head off. You can always work out who was carrying the bomb. He's the one without the bloody head on his bloody shoulders.
Tell him. Go on, tell him.
No, please.
Tell him.
Tell me now.
It was my daughter. Daughter.
Christ almighty.
Shoot her. I won't say nothing. I'll say she made trouble and you had to do self-defense. Who's going to care? The mother of a bloody murderer. Who's going to be crying? Go on.
Who knows about this?
Everyone. Everyone knows.
She's having a laugh. Some people, they like the attention. It's like when people confess to murders they haven't committed. You're having a laugh, right? You mean it's true?
What did I tell you?
I don't understand. Your daughter, she... I can't say, she...
Yes.
Yeah, you're walking about as large as life. Why aren't you... Why didn't they...
It was my daughter, not me.
Well, the same wanted for questioning, surely.
They locked me in a police cell like a common criminal. My husband also. In a separate cell, of course. Questions, questions, questions. Threats... Other things I don't want to talk about.
What things?
I can't say.
bad things?
Don't make me say.
What they wanted to know?
Everything. They wanted to know everything.
She didn't see her daughter for 6 months.
I told them that. We both told them that.
What kind of mother don't see her daughter for 6 months?
Oh, there were always excuses, reasons. I thought maybe it was something to do with a boyfriend. Married, perhaps. The wrong religion.
She had some religion. A girl who goes around killing people, she had a religion.
It was just another thing I didn't know about
her.
They
will stop at nothing. They got no feelings. They don't care about nobody.
So what are we going to do?
I can call my commanding officer. He'd come, take her away.
They kept me in a stinking cell. I lost track of time. Without food, just a jug of water. They tried everything. I would have told them if I had anything to tell, just to make it all stop. I'm not a martyr. And my daughter is already dead. What more do I have to lose? But I know nothing. I know less than they do. Please, can I go now? I should never have come. That's the truth of it. I should never have come.
People like you, they got no right where decent people are trying to mourn their dead. This woman, if she wanted to, I wouldn't stop her now. I wouldn't. I'd say it was an accident. I'd say you walked into her fist. I'd say it was entirely justifiable. I'd stand up in court and swear on God's name.
Perhaps it's best you go home. Talk to your husband. Try to work out what you did that you got such a daughter, such a villain, such a monster. Maybe this is what you should do.
I told you, I wouldn't say nothing. I would be too busy looking the other way.
No one would blame you.
Get out of my sight before it's too late. One murder is enough. We don't need no more. Enough people's already dead. We don't need to make no more. Just go away. I can't stand to look at you. Just go away.
Thank you.
Don't need to thank me. Better thank God, because he's the only one's going to help you now. Go on. Go. Go.
At least let me say I'm sorry.
Hannah very deliberately turns away from her, then exits swiftly. Salma turns to Joe. He spits on the ground. She walks towards him. He moves rapidly away from her. She stands for a moment, isolated, then leaves, as Joe takes up his on-guard position once again. It's the next day. Joe stands on guard.
Oh, Christ, it's hot. That's half the trouble with this bloody country. It's too bloody hot. Gets right into your head, makes you feel as if your brain's on fire. So you got to find a way out. Me, I'm dreaming of an ice-cold beer. Jumping into the sea to cool off. Lying naked on my bed with the fan blowing cool air on my body. Anything rather than standing out here. In this bloody sun, in this bloody place.
Nice tune.
Oh, it's only you.
No one dangerous, you mean?
How are you doing?
It's okay.
You look a bit better, not much.
Like I said, it's okay.
They say time's a great healer.
They say all kinds of things.
Life has to go on. That's another thing they say.
Why? Why I can't just say it's enough, it's too much even. Why we must keep pretending like nothing happened.
No one's pretending.
Neighbours are looking the other way when they see me. For them, it's over, but not for me. For me, every day will be worse. This morning, I wake up and I'm seeing what happened clear like I was there. Last night, I'm dreaming about it. Passing through a crowd of people to get to her, clawing my way through like I'm some kind of wild animal. Yona, I'm shouting. Yona, I'm coming. Don't be scared. Mum's coming. I'm her mother. I should be able to save her. But instead, I see her face break into 1,000 pieces, blood and skin and bone flying all over the place. And where she was sitting, nobody. The place is empty. Then I wake up and I know it's true, that she's dead and I am alive. It's in working order?
I bloody hope so.
You didn't learn no manners then?
Not yet.
I shouldn't be here, am I right?
I'll turn a blind eye.
It's against the regulations, am I right?
Technically, yes.
So why you don't shoot me?
Well, like I said...
So many terrorists about these days. You don't know who no one is.
I know who you are.
You know what I told you could be a whole bunch of lies.
Why would anyone make up such a terrible story?
There's a lot of crazy people around.
True enough.
So maybe you could do me a favour.
If I can.
Shoot me.
What did you just say?
I want you to shoot me.
Don't be ridiculous.
The doctor won't give me no pills. I can't see no bridge to jump off. Seems to me like it's the best idea.
It's out of the question.
You know how to do it, right?
I'm a trained soldier.
So?
Trained to kill the enemy.
I can be your enemy if you like.
But you're not.
I'm asking you to help a poor woman.
Forget it.
I'm asking you really nice. I'm not being rough or nothing.
I said no, not... I'm afraid I must ask you to leave. You're disturbing the peace.
There's peace here. Funny. I didn't notice. I can't feel no peace.
I can escort you off the site. No harm done.
You won't help me?
I told you.
Okay. Don't worry. I'm going.
What? What?
Give me the gun. Give me the bloody gun.
Get it off me! For the love of God, get it off me!
This won't help!
How you know what is helping me? Your daughter is a murderer. You don't know nothing.
I know my heart is breaking. Let go of the gun.
Tell me why.
Too many deaths. Too much pain. We've got to stop killing each other.
I'm not trying to kill no one else.
Too much dying. There's got to be a better way.
Suddenly you're some sort of expert on this kind of thing. You joined the United Nations or something. Your daughter got on a bus with a bomb. You don't got no right to say nothing.
I don't want to see any more accidents.
It was an accident, the bomb. You're calling it a bloody accident.
In some ways, yes.
I didn't go to no good schools. I didn't go to university, but I know what means the word accident. And believe me, lady, what happened here wasn't one. What she did, your daughter... was something she made up her mind to do. She made a bomb and she took it on the bus. Isn't that right?
Well, I shouldn't think she actually made it. Not with her own hands.
She never bought it in no supermarket.
Let go of the gun, and I'll tell you what I think.
You said you'd tell me.
Well, I don't really know for sure.
But what do you think?
I think that the bomb was made in some sort of bomb factory.
They have factories for bombs?
It's just an expression. She'd have been working with some sort of group. They'd have trained her over a period of time. Then they'd have provided her with the bomb and given her specific instructions how to use it.
How you know this?
Because that's how they work.
You think she knew something?
I doubt it.
So she must get a pretty big shock.
I should say so.
All the time she thinks she knows this daughter, but in the end she don't know nothing.
That's about the size of it.
My Yona, she came home every Friday. Every Friday, I tell you. I used to sit on her bed while she took out her dirty washing. How are you doing, I'd ask. And she'd say, okay. She'd tell me anything, my Yona.
I only tell my mother what I think she wants to know.
What's that mean?
It means that mothers aren't supposed to know everything. If they know too much, they start panicking, and that's a pain in the arse.
My Yona told me everything. Definite, no doubt about it.
If you say so.
Here, I made them this morning. Ginger with almonds.
Cheers.
Your mum, she makes biscuits?
You must be joking.
So, take two, take three. You like?
Mmm.
You think I should give her a biscuit?
Well, that's up to you.
Her daughter...
was a terrorist.
It's true. But maybe she didn't know. Maybe she didn't tell her nothing.
What, in case she panicked, you mean?
It's no joke.
Did I say it was?
If she didn't know, maybe I can't be blaming her for nothing. What do you think?
Oh, don't ask me.
Maybe she didn't eat no breakfast.
I'd say that was entirely possible.
Just one biscuit can't do no harm to nobody.
If you say so.
He says you didn't know nothing.
He's right.
You ate some breakfast?
I can't eat. Ever since... I can't eat.
I also. Only biscuits.
I ate an apple yesterday, but it made me sick.
You like to try a biscuit?
Are you sure?
No, but take one anyway. And eat it. No use just holding it.
I can't.
Maybe just try.
Mmm. It's very good.
So eat. You like more?
Why are you doing this?
I only gave you a biscuit.
There's so many things I would like to ask.
Me also.
But no one can tell me the answers.
It's because no one don't know the answers.
Perhaps if I'd gone to where she was living.
You think you would see something?
I doubt it.
You never went there?
No.
You never asked to go?
Only once.
What'd she say?
She said she was busy.
Busy?
Yes.
You cried?
Yes, I cried.
I asked Yona, did she have a boyfriend? You know what she said? Well, you know what she did? She touched her nose like this, like to say, you mind your own business. Me, her own mother. You know what it looks like, a bomb? Why they want to do these kind of things?
Because they're very angry.
When I'm angry, I don't throw no bombs.
Sometimes people feel they've run out of other options.
So you think they're doing the right thing, these madmen?
I can understand that they might feel it's the only way.
Why? Why they feel this?
Because they feel that no one's listening to them. Because they feel as if they've lost everything. Because they're tired of waiting for the politicians to provide solutions. Because they're desperate people. People without hope. My people.
She speaks nice. Don't you think she speaks nice? Only thing is, I don't understand none of it. Do you understand what she's saying?
Oh, yeah, I understand. I understand, all right.
She makes you angry? These things she's saying make you angry?
I wouldn't give her the satisfaction. I'd keep my gob shut if I were you. You are this far away from being arrested.
For talking things I can't understand, for this she can be arrested.
She knows what I mean.
These people, why don't no one listen?
Because they're talking bullshit. That's why. Dangerous bullshit. What's more?
I didn't ask you.
Don't encourage her. Once they get started, there's no shutting them up. They got an answer for everything. They know more than the Prime Minister. Once we start agreeing with them, it's over. They'll get everything they want and we'll be left with nothing. Don't you read the newspapers?
I never learned reading.
People like you are almost as bad as that lot. Biscuits. I ask you, bloody biscuits. She killed your daughter.
She didn't do nothing. She didn't know nothing. She couldn't even go to where she lived.
She sympathises with the maniacs. She's got nothing to say against her. They're her people, she says.
It's like sometimes I stand by the window and I see all the people walking by and I think, is no one don't care about my life? For all they care, I could be starving. For all they care, I could be dying. Nobody don't care about nobody. It can break your heart.
This is about politics. It's about territory, negotiations, boundaries. It's about economics, history, geography. It's about winners, losers. It's not about hearts.
Okay, but everybody needs a heart. Even if they're talking about geography. If they don't have no heart, they don't be able to breathe. If they aren't breathing, they aren't doing no politics. Am I right?
I tell you what. Why don't you stick to making biscuits?
You don't agree with her?
She's talking bullshit as usual.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
They say the heart has its wisdom.
They say all kinds of things. Now, if you two ladies have finished, perhaps you could kindly piss off and leave me in peace.
You're in peace? You find this a peaceful situation?
I'm a soldier. It's my job to keep the peace.
When you're not killing people, you mean?
I defend my country.
Oh, so it's your country now, is it? It belongs to you?
Amongst others, yes.
So who's the enemy?
Anyone who threatens security. Anyone who refuses to abide by the law of the land.
Anyone who disagrees with you. With the law.
We have a right to protect ourselves, our boundaries, our families.
And their rights? What are they? These dissidents, these rebels.
The same as any other law-abiding citizen, but once they break the law...
What happens then?
They have to be dealt with. Punished. Society cannot tolerate subversion.
What if the law is wrong? What if the boundaries are illegal?
What did I tell you? This woman is dangerous. I'm going to call my commanding officer. Suggest you get taken in for questioning.
Maybe you ought to go home. He don't want you here. Go home. Drink some coffee. Have a nice shower. A little sleep.
She's not going nowhere. They'll be coming for her in a minute.
You should go. I don't like to see no more trouble. He called his boss, top man. Maybe they take you to prison.
He didn't call anybody.
He was speaking into that machine he got.
I'm telling you, he didn't call anybody.
How you know that?
I just know.
Why you play these games? Why you play these bloody games?
It's none of your business. Why don't you just piss off, the pair of you? Everything was all right till you two came along.
Was it? In what respect?
I was perfectly happy guarding the space.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. We're glad to hear that, aren't we?
Definite. For sure.
Well, happy enough.
Why didn't you call your commanding officer?
I don't know.
You don't know?
That's what I said, isn't it? It's so bloody hot.
You feel okay?
Why wouldn't I?
You're looking a bit pale. My Yona, when she's looking pale, always I know she's sick.
I'm absolutely fine.
He seemed to me a bit scared. What do you think? You think maybe he's scared?
Maybe.
Why you are scared?
I'm not scared. Now listen to me. You're going, both of you. No more cosy chats. No more biscuits. No more nothing. Understood?
You didn't like the biscuits?
Of course I like the bloody biscuits.
You ever killed somebody?
I'm a bloody soldier, Anna. That's what soldiers do. They kill people.
But you didn't.
Might have done.
But you didn't. He never killed nobody.
Let's not hold that against him.
Oh, I've had enough of you two, more than enough. Just get out of here now. Get out of here. Or I might do something that I regret.
You would regret killing us?
I said get out.
You don't like killing?
There are plenty out there prepared to kill. They don't need me to do it.
Where were you stationed?
I'm not going to tell you that, am I?
On the border, was it?
Somewhere like that.
You think he's sick? Maybe we should get a doctor.
He's not sick.
I don't like how he's looking.
He's afraid.
What he's afraid of?
Himself. Tell me how it was.
You know how it was.
Yes, but I'd like you to tell me.
Why should I?
Because you need to.
Your daughter was a murderer.
I can still listen.
Once I tell you. Once I start.
Yes.
Once I start, I won't be able to stop. Once I start, everything will change.
Is that such a bad thing?
It feels too dangerous.
My husband, just before he died, he was pale like him. Maybe he has problems with his heart. What do you think?
I think you may be right.
Then what we should do?
We should let him talk.
We shouldn't get a doctor, an ambulance maybe.
He doesn't need a doctor or an ambulance.
What he needs then?
He needs someone to listen to him.
You talk about hearts. It's a place where you can't afford to have a heart. Where you're not allowed to have a heart. Where if you do have a heart, it'll only get broken. Ground underfoot like smashed china. You see things, you hear things, you smell things. Things you couldn't imagine in your worst nightmares. But you don't have nightmares. Because you can't sleep. You can't get the stench out of your nostrils. You can't get the taste out of your mouth. And all the while, others are laughing and they're eating hamburgers and they're talking about the women they're going to shag and the beer they're going to drink.
But not you. You're not doing these things.
To begin with, yes. Until I listened to myself, until I saw myself and what I was becoming.
Then you stopped, right?
No, it's not as easy as that.
When do you go off duty?
Another 5 hours.
And then?
Back to the border.
You told your mother?
What?
She knows you're scared?
Oh, I told you, I'm not...
You don't think she'd like to know?
I'm not sure.
Maybe she would feel more happy.
Why the hell would she feel more happy?
Because a mother should know these things.
Look, just piss off. Why don't you just piss off? What good is it, eh? Where does it get me? I'll have to go back. And what's the worst that can happen? I mean, I can't stay here, can I? I can't stay here with a bunch of bloody women.
Perhaps we can help you.
Your daughter was a bloody terrorist. Both of her bloody kids are dead. One pointless death and the other had her brains blown out by your daughter.
if my son would run away, maybe he'd be alive today.
If my daughter didn't see herself as some sort of hero, maybe she'd be alive today.
And my daughter also.
Who said I'm running away? How can I run away?
Sometimes running is more brave than staying somewhere you know is not a good place.
Oh, how would you know?
Maybe I didn't go to no university, but I know.
I'm not a coward. That's what they'd call me, a bloody coward.
If you're a coward, maybe we should hope all our children would be cowards.
They believe they go to paradise, these suicide bombers. Or perhaps your daughter is in paradise now. Who the hell knows?
I'd rather she was here with me. Paradise seems too far away.
My Yona, she don't believe in no heaven. She say, Mum, when I die, I'm going somewhere where I can dance all day and night and never get tired. She loves to dance, my Yona. Red shoes she got special for dancing. She should be dancing. You know why she's not dancing? Because your daughter murdered her. Because your daughter is a bloody murderer. Because you gave birth to some kind of monster. Because you had a kid, then you didn't take enough care of her. Because it's right what they told us. They told us you people aren't proper human beings. They told us you smile with your face, but in your hearts you're villains. I thought I could forgive you because I see you also are suffering. But I can't. I want to, but I can't. I feel I could kill you right now. I could beat you to death with my hands. I could hit you till the blood poured out of you, till you had no face left.
Why don't you kill me? One more won't make any difference. Our lives seem to be cheaper than yours. I can't blame her, my daughter. I don't fully understand her. Perhaps I never will, but still I can't blame her.
Look at me. Look what I am doing. Look at me.
When I first saw this place, I thought it seemed like the ends of the earth, everything dry, empty, no tree growing, like you imagine hell in your dreams.
I didn't know it could happen so easy.
I was guarding this place, keeping it safe, keeping myself safe. Now everything is blown apart. There's nothing I feel sure about anymore.
Perhaps things have to be blown apart sometimes, so we can look closely at all the pieces, then try to put them back together in a different order, a better order.
It seems too high a price to pay.
I need to find a reason. Any reason.
Perhaps.
If I can't find a reason.
Perhaps there isn't a reason. We think things ought to make sense, but they don't. People keep telling us what to think and what to feel and where to go and who to be. But at the end, none of it makes any sense. None of it. I mean, I can't see any way out of this. No way out. Can you see any way out of it? Come on, can you? So when there's no way out, there's only one way out, agreed? Hey? When there's no place to go, there's only one place to go, agreed?
They don't answer. He lifts his weapon and points it at his own head.
No! No! Tell him not!
You tell him. I can't.
Too much dying. Enough dying.
Give me a reason to be alive in this bloody country, in this bloody world. Give me one good reason.
You should think of your mother. At least you should think of your mother.
Well, you mean the same as her daughter thought of her? Well, it didn't stop her, did it? It didn't stop her murdering a busload of innocent people and blowing her head off in the middle of nowhere in the process.
I have to try to understand. If I could just understand.
Understanding won't help you. Your daughter's dead. Nothing's going to bring her back. You can get a university degree in international relations and it won't bring her back.
Okay. So you're a big man with a real gun. Put the gun down and I'll tell you a story.
What kind of story?
The kind of story mothers are telling children when they wake up in the middle of the night and they can't get back to sleep. The kind of story mothers are telling when there's thunder and lightning.
My mother never told me no stories.
She probably did. You've just forgotten.
You wouldn't forget a thing like that.
Put the gun down, okay?
I can't see no other way out.
None of us can. Not yet. But still, we know that this isn't the way. Perhaps that's a start. Not much, but a start. She's right. You should put the gun down.
No, a soldier never puts down his weapon.
Of course not.
Funny. I just remembered. When we were at school, we used to sit in a circle and take it in turns to tell a story. It didn't have to be true. It could be if you wanted. You know, perhaps we could do that.
You'd need to put the gun down first.
I told you, a soldier never puts down his weapon.
You need to put the gun down.
Perhaps this could be a place for telling stories.
And eating biscuits.
Stories and biscuits. People could come here to tell stories and eat biscuits.
He looks around and very slowly puts the gun down. Hannah sits on the ground. After a moment's hesitation, he sits down next to her.
Go on then. You go first.
What kind of story did you have in mind?
A story with a happy ending.
Are there any stories like that?
There used to be.
In another time, maybe. Before
what?
Before all this madness.
You promised we'd tell a story. I mean, could stories really make things better? Maybe it's too late.
You're tired. It's so hot. Why don't you rest? Then you can decide what to do.
I know a good story. It's a story I used to tell her. Nights when she woke up scared and crying. You know that kind of night.
Oh, yes.
Nights when she saw wild animals in the shadows on her bedroom wall.
Nights when she heard monsters in the garden outside her window.
Monsters, yeah. Too many monsters.
You saw them also?
Oh, yes, I saw them.
Those nights there had to be a special story.
The only story that would make the monsters disappear.
The only story that would make the wild animals in the shadows run away.
How do I know it's the right story?
Because it's a story that begins with a kind of song.
With a song! That's right. That's how it begins.
Your daughter. What did you say her name was?
Yona. The bird that flies out of Noah's Ark to find dry land.
That bird was a dove. We read it in school.
I called my daughter Yamaha. Yama also means dove. Because I wanted to believe there could be the possibility of peace in her lifetime.
Yona is dove. Yama is dove.
Imagine all the people
In Dove by Sheila Yeager, Joe was played by Vincenzo Pellegrino, Hannah was played by Pamela Benham, and Salma was played by Meg Whelan. The play was directed by Roger Stennett.